Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. There's an army rising up. Glory to God. I am radical for Jesus. We are radical for Jesus. And the enemy is coming against us as before. I want you to know that. When you stand up for the truth, and when you speak the truth, uncompromising truth, infallible word of God, the enemy will come against you. This will make the third or fourth time that Facebook is messing with me now, again, okay? So, but God is good, because I knew that. I know something's going to happen soon, very soon. And I don't know the date because I didn't have the date. But I had visions, 3 visions yesterday of destructions in our nation, hitting 7 different cities at the same time. 7 different cities. 7 different cities at the same time. And the Lord showed me this. I saw it in the spirit. And the Lord says, many people are still sleeping and playing. But destruction is on its way. Because the people have become so evil that God don't have another choice. But to allow evil to take over. God don't send evil, but he allow evil to rain down on the people to drive them back to their knees. And God says, it's coming. It's coming. Destruction. The people are going to be sitting, playing, doing all the things that they're doing that make their flesh feel good. Listen to me. And then sudden destruction. If you're going to run, like in the days of Noah, they're going to run looking for shelter, but there's not going to be any shelter. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for blessing us. Blessing us to see another day. A day in the land of the living. A day that we have never, ever seen before. And surely, my Father, we will never, ever see this day again. We ask you, O God, as you have blessed us and kept us through the night, brought us into this new day and clothed us in our right mind, given us activities of our limbs, O God, we ask you to strengthen us today. Strengthen us to stand up flat-footed to do what thus says the Lord, to honor your word, O God. We ask you, Father God, as you use this woman of God as she comes in here today and into your sanctuary in the spirit realm. God, we ask you to use her tongue, use her ears, use her eyes of clay. And God, allow her to see and hear and speak that which says the Lord. Let the fire of God rest upon her tongue. Let the coals from the altar of God be upon her tongue, O God. O Father God, and she release the word out of her belly today. It will not return void, O God. but it would accomplish what you have sent it to accomplish this day. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, Ina, Prophetess Kersey, and lo, the Lord to use you, to use you. Come on, Ina.
Thank you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. When I was in trouble, when I was in trouble, when I was in trouble, you had mercy on me. Oh, when I was sick, you had mercy. When I was sick, you showed mercy. Family, oh God, on the Jones family, on the Stewart family, and all those that are listening globally. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for every promise that you have kept, Lord. You are a promise keeper. And we thank you for every promise that if we seek you, Lord, if we stand before you to please you and delight ourselves with you, Lord, that you would not let any evil thing come now dwelling. You would not judge the righteous with the wicked, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, hallelujah, that your hand is upon us again today. It's your hand. It's your hand today that I feel, God. It's your hand that has kept us, and we thank you for keeping us in your hand and let not evil befall us or anything that our enemies and our foes have sought out or planned to do against us who pursue righteousness. We thank you for blessing us, Lord. Thank you for another day's journey. Thank you for opportunity to stand in your holy council and to stand before you for the land and to declare that which you have said unto me today. I pray that you will release the anointing to touch the minds as you have already begun to prepare their hearts for the reception of your word. We pray that you will break up every fallow ground, everything you didn't plant. Everything that you did not plant, God, in the name of Jesus, oh, we ask you to root out the doctrines of men, the commandments of men, the doctrines of devil, and every genealogy and old wise fable and the things that will prevent the word from falling on good ground today. Root it out. Pluck it up, Lord. Oh, God, cause every corruptible seed, every corruptible, oh God, meditation, everything that's contrary to God consciousness. We ask you for your deliverance for your people right now, anoint every ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, God, including myself, that I may say exactly what you would say unto me as I stand upon this watch or on the housetop of radio. God, in Jesus' name, convict hearts of sin, those who have willfully sinned, to those who have pined away so far that they're losing conviction and condemnation. We pray for a return, Lord, that they will return to consciousness and awareness of your presence, God, and the consequences of unrepented sin. Have your way today. From coast to coast, from sea to sea, from heart to heart, from mind to mind, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, God, cause their ears to be swift to hear in the name of Jesus and cause them to stand and withstand against, God, all the distractions that will come that seek to steal the word from them. Release the mysteries of the gospel for today. I pray that you anoint me that I can speak your word today, line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, in Jesus' holy and righteous name. I bless you and I thank you. Glory to God. Bless, 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 bless in the name of Jesus the hearers of your word. And we thank you again for your mercy, for having mercy upon us, oh God, and considering us for such a time as this to stand with you, oh God, in defense of the gospel and for the saving of those you love and those you are calling in this last hour. Bless us right now to be steadfast in this word, not adding or taking away from it, but to preach it as written, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We do thank the Lord. Amen. For our chance to be back in your hearing again today. Glory to God. We do honor you, Apostle Calendar, and your dear wife, and all the ministries and the ministers that have been entrusted in your care. We honor Apostle Stewart as well. Amen. The dear deacon and my son, a minister, Deron Jones. praise God, and everyone on this line, everyone that's been privileged to be seated upon the thrones of the Most High God, amen, to speak in his behalf, amen. We bless God for you, for giving an ear to what we feel the Lord has given us to say to you today, amen, and praise God. We just want to thank the Lord for the few words of exhortation from the man of God, declaration of warning, of visions. And, you know, we just don't have enough of that tone. Oftentimes we hear what say what we hear when the Spirit has spoken to us audibly, and we don't have enough people declaring what they had seen in visions, by dreams. Praise the Lord. And we know in the last hour the Lord did declare through the prophet Joel that in the last days that there would be a lot of dreamers and a lot of visions. And visions is seeing in the night or seeing after going to sleep or rest. It also means a lot of visitations, a lot of things from the other side will step in to this side and make you aware of their presence, just like they did in the days of Daniel and Ezekiel and all of those angelic visitations they had from the holy angels, the messengers sent by Gabriel, and who's over the message over the messages, and he sent them to all those who are heirs of salvation. He sent the minister spirits out. As Michael is over the warring ones, praise God, the army that fights for Israel, that fight in our behalf, praise God, or in the behalf of the righteous. They fight off entities for us, and we thank God for that, those visions. I, too, Apostle Callum, have been having a lot of dreams, I'm telling you. For the past 30 days, almost 30 days now, I've been very, very restless at night. I hardly ever get any rest anyway. It looked like those are my watching hours as well, and I'm most studious after study at night, after I had a long day of giving time and energy to everything by day and people, places, and things and other various obligations. And then so I'll find the night watch when it's most quiet. And oftentimes I have up all the voices and the noise and music listening to my city after the calm of the day at the going down of the sun, and listening to the animal kingdom and the creeping things as well to see if they're singing and things are in its season. If it's the frogs or the crickets, if I don't hear them, and, you know, and when I know they're supposed to be their most vibrant manifesting, then it troubles me, because I know at this time we are in a war, and all of creation, all the four species of flesh, as 1 Corinthians 15:39 said, the flesh of men, beasts, and fowls, and fish, and you got all these other creation that God has made is being warred against by evil. Amen. Evil hates everything that God made, even itself. It hated itself enough that it made a big mess. I guess you would call it the biggest boo-boo he ever made. And I know, even though Satan's heart is hardened after the fall, and praise God, I know way back in his mind, he hated he ever done what he done. But we know it's too late for him and all those who've taken counsel together with him against the Lord. And it's even more dangerous today, as we see through history, through all the dispensations of time, where Satan has gone after all that lead to try to bribe them or convince them to take counsel or take side with him against God. And a lot of leaders have hated things that they have done wrong against God and their word, you know. And I've talked to many, many, both men and women ministers in all ranks, and who are confessing and admitting and even weeping over it, that Where is God? I don't feel him like I used to. And only thing I could say is maybe you're just in something where it seemed like he's not there. And it reminded me of the footprints in the sand. And when you thought God was there and he was walking on the beach and all that time, God was caring. He just didn't say anything, but he was there. And the scriptures say he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, there is such things as transgressions and committed unrepented sins or covered up things that can cause power shortage and make it seem like the presence of God is afar off from you, you know. And but God's eyes are still in every place. He just won't be upon you, moving in you as was, as some declared in a mighty way, but now it goes. And I've had some even come to me, and two of them at least, two people, one out of Carolina and another one out of Georgia, and say, oh, man, ever since I took the vaccine, I have not been the same. It seemed like something left me and something entered me. You know, I can't pray. I can't this. I can't that. What is that? I want to know. I say, well, that's something we're going to have to pray over, because I don't have the answers to that part, and I know in part, and I can only prophesy and speak in part, but even I don't know the conclusion of the whole matter of such things that are going on. Amen. But I tell you, if it's ever been a time that leaders globally, both spiritually and naturally, from the kingdom pulpits throughout all the religious arena, praise God. And anything that says they know God or represent God or using his name as a cloak or drawing claw or a card, not just to bring people close to God or to reconcile them to God, but just having church just for PMS. It's about the power, money, and the sex. And so right now, where we are at, world leaders are in the balance, and it seems that God is trying to get them their attention. The Holy Trinity and the Unholy Trinity, according to St. Revelation. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm thinking about St. John. I was in it some last night, so it's still on my tongue a little. Praise God. But the Bible said that in the last days in Revelation 16:13, that the voice of the unholy Trinity would be ringing out, and we know we are in a very, very tough day today. And man, there's so many voices, so much noise, till you can't hardly get rest. If it's not a human spirit voice or the voice of a holy angel or unholy vessel or a demon, a fallen angel, or the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then look at all the creatures here below, and that reminds me of a movie they had by Bruce Almighty. You know, we glory in the gifts of God, and we are happy and elated over gifts and talents and virtues and how to attract people. But the cross that come with it, it's easier to use the gift and you can use it without consecration, and you can use it without, I mean, a real life of consecration or dedication or without repentance. And a lot of people today is moving religiously off of the gift of alone, you know, and some of them are operating just like the ones who don't have the Holy Ghost and have the spirit of wizards and palm readers. And it's the same gift given by God, the ability to prophesy or to foresee, but then another entity has it. Just like the laying on of hands, you got the same, the psychic, the palm reader. Oh, a lot of these people, their gifts come from God, but they are born with it. We come in the world already with a signed rank, a signed position, a call, a gift, a talent, a virtue. You're born with it. And then there are times along the life journey, after prove yourself through suffering a while for God, that God continue by his hand to strengthen us, establish us, and settle us, and then he will add gifts after he measured the household of God and find that everyone given a gift for his purpose, amen, and that has not submitted to him, and he really want that gift and use it, he have shown us in the scripture that he will take something from one who is not using it and putting their talent under their gifts under a bushel or hiding it or suppressing it and, you know, rebel against the use and everything. And so God will take talents and gifts, and take the ability to do certain things. And you see it when if you got two gifts and one man multiply, increase it to five, and another one had one or two and don't do nothing with it. And God, after measuring it, saw he take things. He could take something back from us. He could take it. If we are not profitable and not working in his behalf and for the purpose of the things of the kingdom that can save men and women, boys and girls' lives, you can lose it. You can lose it, and there is such thing that God will depart from you. He showed us other examples about Saul, and God told him and warned him about witches and witchcraft. His test, he failed that because he was infatuated with wizardry and literally seeing those who have displayed the ability to open up portals and call up spirits, and seem like people gravitate more to that than they do just a spoken word. Even if you don't see nothing, you still got to believe the word is not going to go out void. Praise God, but it's going to accomplish that if it please. But people are so now globally hungry for the supernatural. They want to see it, and a lot of them are leaving churches that have lost consecration, no fast and pray, no demonstration of the spirit and power. We say the word power and put a little theatrics and drama behind the sound to make it sound like it's really there and give a little vibrations. But in actuality, when it all boils down, there ain't no gifts, no talents, no virtues working at all in the church seals. As the world sees some of the churches as powerless, and me, and that's why Jeremiah said that the world hissed it at us, sucking their teeth. Man, ain't nothing to them people. They be talking. Man, they'll say, I've heard people say it, and you hear it in telecast and television and movies, sitcoms and all. Man, them witches and warlocks doing more than a lot of the church folk, man. They opening doors, man. They made this fly, and they made like Chris, I forgot his whole name, but he, man, you talking about wizardry and rage to call and bid spirit beings, have him flying across the sky and crossing waters, and man, you talking about demonic assistance or spiritual assistance, proof of angelic hosts with you. And so people are looking for power. They are looking for demonstration. They're saying enough of all this talk, man. You got to put up or shut up. You talking power, and you know the gospel tells us that the kingdom of God is not only in word only, but in power. And power don't come until after the Holy Ghost comes. And if a man don't have the Holy Ghost, you really don't have no power, because the power comes after the Holy Ghost. The scriptures say Holy Ghost, and some people prefer Holy Spirit, is come upon you or in you. And here comes the power, the wisdom of God. And then you can understand the mind of God and become a seer of the word. And then you have all these witnesses and evidence of the angelic host that you're able to release on assignments to accomplish some of the things that's conducive to the word of God, as long as it's lawfully. It's lawfully, and it's going to bring prosperity in the body, soul, and the spirit. And so we praise the Lord, because God is one and leader, and he is. And the Lord told me some years ago, and when I was fasting and praying, he said to me, because I was dealing with who I thought was a true father, over me in ministry and genuinely cared for me as he did all the others, but he always had some type of issue with me. And I was weeping over Father in the spirit because my father had gone on, and I was saying, oh, God, if I just had somebody to genuinely care for me in ministry as they do their own, like a father married to a woman that's in a home that has a lot of children, and then they become, we call it stepchildren, but children are actually children, and you just made one, and it was like I come in as a stepchild in ministry, and he was cleaving more to the ones been there all the time, and then they were preventing him, him and her, him and his wife, from loving anybody that come in new. And people come in, they feel threatening as though it's about competing. And Paul said that, and I agree with Paul, and I'm telling you, I don't have time to wrestle with competing and comparing myself among myself. He spoke that at the Church of Corinth. And Paul said, I wouldn't dare be among them, the number of people. They're always competing and comparing themselves among themselves and measuring themselves among themselves. You say, they're not wise. It's Paul saying, I ain't a part of that group. I ain't got time to be standing up saying, I'm trying to prove I got five gifts and you don't have but one. I ain't got time to be a fault finder, but I'm a fault mender. Praise God. We're here to bring together that which is meant to be together, just like a marriage whom God has put asunder, whom God has sent to ministry to help. And I hear my son, Minister Jones, say this all the time. Mama, I don't know why these pastors do that. They cry for help. They ask God for help, and then God send them help. They don't know how to receive it or embrace it. Then they end up fighting it in a border. They push them right out as God sent them in. And then sometimes God will end up smiting the shepherd and scatter the people because they won't do it as God said for it to be done. And so we praise the Lord because there is a warning. And the Lord said to me some years ago that he said, I am holding leaders responsible for the condition of the world, the ones that be seated upon the throne, whether in my kingdom or outside, because I'm the one who ordained all powers. And then he brought it to my attention and reminded me of Romans 13. Praise God on how there's no power but be that which is ordained of God. All powers that be is ordained of God. Praise God. And he said, even the ministers of terror who we would think, oh, that ain't of God. They ain't of God. Anybody who's holding the office, their name was forewritten in the books that this was going to be the show. This would be what's played out through the course of the world, through the course of my day, through the week or the month or the years. Your name was all those who are married and you grow up as a child. You didn't know that you were going to be picked by God, according to the 75th division of Psalms, to be seated in a office to govern people, the whole town, or even a nation, as they call the President of the United States, the Chief of Commanders. And who would think that God, he the one does the selecting. I was looking at a moment ago before coming in to you guys on how they are voting this in and voting up a House chairman in the seat and all that. You know what? They do all of that, and they look and think that they're doing it. But God is in control. This is the Kairos hour, the final hour where we've been praying, and God is answering prayer and turning things around for the righteous. He's shortening the days for the righteous. All the things that's going on, it looks bad, but in actuality, it's a good thing because all these things that are happening is working for the good of church, for the righteous, for Holy Ghost-filled people, those who have the Spirit of the Lord as proof that they are in God's kingdom, because Romans 8:9 say, if a man have not the Spirit of Christ, if you don't have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, if you choose, praise God, then he said, you are none of his. You got to get the Spirit of God to really be close to me, to be connected to me, to be a part of the kinship, our kinsmen, our family of God. Amen. Other than that, without it, you're going to church and you could be singing in the choir and even preaching. Some people do it without the Spirit of God. And you know, and you still be on the outside of power, on the outside of privilege, on the outside, oh my God, of all the benefits, all the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I tell you, but he said, I'm holding leaders responsible for the condition of the world. You know, and the reason why things have gone far left and so negative and everything is going as it is because they've been brought out. They gave in to the unholy bribery of Revelation 16:13. The unholy Trinity sent out briberies to the kings of earth. And I've brought these scriptures up, and I will bring them up a lot. And some things I will repeat over and over again. And you've heard me say before, and sometimes something is added. Time's coming that I would say it, something fresh. It may be repetitive. I'll repeat some things or reiterate some things. And the Spirit of the Lord do it to make sure you get it. And somebody may be on radio somewhere saying, I wish they would say that again. Let them come back and say, God heard it and had me to repeat it. So we want the Lord, praise God, to order our steps. And so bribery is going on. You know, all this money slinging and this pleading with billions of dollars. World leaders spending the money of the people's money that's laid up for their retirement and all that and giving it to other places and people, places, and things, I'm telling you. And then the other side of it is this is the last round for money. As we say, the last call for alcohol. Oh, it's about to be over, and you talking about pain getting ready to hit this place. And the man of God was talking about the visions of things that he saw that was going to happen in several, I believe he said, cities or states. Oh, we have not seen the shaking as we, if we know the depths of it and things about it in its entirety, we would be dreading. We would, you're talking about the altars would be filled. Praise God, because God is getting ready to loose evil. He is turning nations over to hell. Even though David said in God and the wicked and the, all the nations that forget God or push God out and say, I don't want to have nothing to do with God and no more preaching and get rid of the Christians and get rid of the churches, shut them down and take the Bibles out and all that. Guess what? That is the first stages of being turned into hell. You wonder why? They're going into searedness, the conscious. They're going into conscious being. They're going to be unconscious of the things of God. Amen. The rim of stolen mind, seared mind, point of no return. And so a lot of leaders, and as you see it, have been bought out by the fallen angels. They have, just like the celebrities and the rappers say, they was visited. I remember something DMX said. And he said he was met the devil. He said, man, I passed through the devil's country. And he called passing through Nevada. That's the devil's country. And these people are privileged to see things and hear things. When you got big money, you get to go in a lot more places than a poor man can, or maybe a middle-class person. But the people with that top of the line, the clock in those millions and multi-millions and billions of dollars, man, you can go places and that's restricted and off limit to a regular person or a regular civilian. You'll be privy and meet entities that shapeshift and that will have meetings with them in order to get them to exchange their soul. And God knows we are coming up to that. Because what they are doing is making this last round on the money. On the money, they giving it away and then cards and $6,400 here, $5,400 here, $500. This is your last round for cash. Now, they are giving stuff away and much for bribery so you can keep that they think the ones who are seated in thrones today as is, but that's God's decision. And I would rather have God to do it than any man or woman that we know that's sometimes easy to bow and bend at a few dollars or some hips, lips and fingertips, or an hour of sex or what they think is good, and don't know the merging of entities from underneath that use the pillows and give you pillow talk and mattresses as doorways into the soul. But this is the final rounds for money. Praise God. And the next round would be you giving something in exchange for your soul. Then we're about to enter the temptation that shall come upon all the world to try every man, and that's for the exchange of your soul. And so they're preparing for that and preparing to introduce the actual who we've been waiting and wondering what he looked like all of our life of being in a church arena, even from a child. I always wonder what the devil looked like. You know, because grandmama used to say when it was thunder and lightning out in the country, she said, y'all children, get over there and sit out for y'all. May God strike this house. Everybody get quiet. And when you hear thundering and lightning, if it hit the ground on a pole or a tree, they're going to say, oh, the devil fighting his wife. And y'all get quiet. Grandma was saying the devil was fighting his wife. And the devil got a wife. They live on thinking they're all underground. I'm telling you, we leave so many fables to the child's mind, and we grow up. And unless we pass through the house of God, that would give us understanding of these fables and these tales, and we get understanding of the spirit realm, the eternal realm, where you came, where you was abiding first before you got here. You came out of God to come into the earth, pass through your mother's womb, given a house so that you can be here for a number of times. Praise God. And so the spirit realm is here, boy. They trying to get people's attention. They working hard to overthrow. They working hard to be seated on these thrones. When God has already said in Revelation 13 that they will be seated and that the transfer of power for a number of years will go from man who was given dominion of the earth, and just like Adam did, and then he gave it, Jesus died and took it and gave it to the church, and the church gave it back, and so released and loosed a lot of entities, it was done so easily because of prayerlessness. And when you're prayerless, you are not alert, you are not vigilant, you can't see nothing, you're blind, you're going into willful blindness because you neglect the greatest of salvation, one of the greatest virtue that can open spiritual doors, allow you to see things moving, things descending and ascending that's not human. Amen. And even if they're standing before you as skinwalkers, when they have fused elements from the earth and other minerals and chemicals with human flesh, all the people that died from this stolen skin, all the human trafficking going on, not for sex slaves and all that, but they're stealing bodies to use the skin to mingle it with other things, so that all these things that are beasts and other creatures as described from the garden out, praise God, that they can hide behind that, and even their disembodied children that died in the flood that are still lingering and moving in the wind. Some of them want to stay, and they will stay, and some of them are being used in technology and other objects and other things just to hold man's attention. But God said he was holding world leaders responsible. And when he say world leaders, that includes the pulpit as well as what we call the highest house, the White House, in America anyway, and because you have other continents and countries, and America is really an organization, not a country, but an organization It's about business. It's about that dollar. It's about the exchange of the soul. But when you go everywhere else, things are run a little bit different. But look, I'm telling you, if it's ever been a time that you need to see and understand, so you will be walking as blind, you need to seek the Lord. You got to hurry up and make some body covenants. You got to start with your eye gate, because what you behold with your eyes will affect the brain or the soul's housing in the head rim or the heart. Praise God. Amen. Or your nature, the desires. Amen. And will affect or corrupt your spirit if you don't have the Spirit of God. You got to be careful what you set at your eye gate, and how long you look at it, and how long you gaze at it, or stare at it, or allow it to stare at you, or to hypnotize you. You know, people worry about hypnotic. They got drinks that call hypnotic. Amen. But there's other things that can, that's spellbinding. With the musical spells, sound spells, frequency spells, spells are fragrant spells to hold you and to capture you, and to, in order to give place to an entity that need a host, somebody to house them if it's only in the pulpit. Praise God. Amen. But I tell you, we need to see. We need to see. We need to really see. We need to pay attention, y'all. We need to pay attention. Please, please wake up. Please don't slumber too long. Please don't keep sleeping. Don't think that you don't have to fast and pray anymore. It don't take all of that. Boy, when God finished shaking, and he's been shaking the olive tree for a time, as he starts shaking the planet, the earth started to tremble. He began, and if you look at that 24th chapter of Isaiah in its entirety, you'll see that when God starts shaking the earth, the land, the dry land, and where he said the heavens, the earth, the dry land, and the sea, and all the inhabitants thereof, everything that has need. Now then, Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Yeshua, or the name of Jesus, praise God, Yeshua, a.k.a. Jesus, every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess of things in the heavens, on earth, and in the sea. There's other beasts and creatures and all will acknowledge that, whether it's marine, sirene, praise God, or just people who are living in houses. I've seen in documentaries when people have begun to go to bunkers or living underwater caves and all that. They're living actually in the sea. Pizza delivery going on down there. And then those in submarines, and that's why he's saying the sea people are living there. And then now they're living in the heights of the clouds, and you see a lot of that at night up there. Amen. But if I what I'm saying to you in summary, praise God, there are things you need to see. And when I say see, not only with your eyes, but comprehend. There are some things you need to understand about Christianity and your purpose. And it's not just in, you're not just in it to get saved, just to get what you can get and for God to bless and use you. But God is trying to equip each of us and prepare us for the greatest battle of man against evil. To conquer them, to overthrow them, to destroy you, to make sure you go to the lake with them. They want you to be deceived, and they know. these evil ones know that it's only going to take a small thing to keep you out. But there's things you need to see, things you need to see, comprehend, understand. And the only way you're going to get understanding, number one, you got to have the Spirit of God. The First Corinthians, the second chapter, says, no man understand the things of the Spirit of God or the mind of God. Save means unless the Spirit of God is in you. Now, he's the one that reveals the mind of God to us. You need the Spirit of God. Can't no preacher, no author, no writer, nowhere can make you understand like the Spirit of God. It was there with the Almighty. It knows what he looks like, smells like, everything about God. And who can reveal but that was literally there? A lot of us, when we write books, or sometimes often we get it by revelation, but on the other hand, we're guessing and trying to figure it out, what the Lord looked like and what he was saying. But we're dealing with foreseeing. You want to see in time, ahead of time, and not wait to the last minute to understand things. You've had years to get understanding concerning what's going on. In Proverbs 27 and verses 12, I was looking at that before coming to you guys today, and Proverbs and a different translation of that one verse, because I want to deal with foresee, F-O-R-E-S-E-E, to foresee, to see ahead of time, to see something before it happens, or to interpret it before it happens. If you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, look at yesterday. If you want to know how your life is going to go tomorrow, watch what you sow today. Watch what you do today. Watch where you go today. Praise God, because what you do today, if it's not in righteousness, and if it's some sort of evil, then it will cross over, and it will follow you over to the next, just like blessings and so on. But Proverbs 27 and 12 say in these different versions, I'm going to read it to you, out of the ESV version, talking about the prudent man, a prudent man, somebody with common sense, somebody have the ability to be analytic, to think things out. They're very wise, they're very cautious, they look for instruction, they're reasonable, they're going to reason, if at all, by themselves. If they don't have a witness, which God always confirmed what he's saying to you, but we want to deal with a prudent, P-R-U-D-E-N-T. It says in the ESV version, said the prudent sees danger and hides himself. The prudent, I mean the wise man, a smart man, a person got good sense, common sense, a thinker, somebody who's very cautious, say the prudent sees danger and hides himself. But the simple, somebody who's simple, on the short bus, and hard to learn, or either you rebel in learning and don't want to learn or don't want to see. He said, but the simple go on and suffer for it. You know that suffering when you don't see? Suffering comes with being blind or refusing to see. Suffering comes with it. And then the NIV says, the prudent, meaning the wise man or the smart person or person who measures everything, and they have good judgment and discernful, they see the danger because they have trained and developed their spiritual senses, as Hebrews 5 and 14 says, to see danger. It ain't that we get up looking for it, but because the day is evil, that means you're not going to always see good good is going to always be present. Look at Paul, what he said in Romans 7. He said, when I went to do good, evil is present. Evil is present in our world. And you see their works. You see the attributes and all the characteristics of evil, the approval, the ordination of evil. He said in the NIV, the prudent sees danger. And guess what he does? You see danger? Man, it says, and they take refuge. Man, you're going to get out the way. You're going to go somewhere. If you see it rolling down the street or coming, you're going to hide behind a tree or jump in a ditch or down in a trench somewhere. And prudent, you see danger. You're going to stand and say, what is that? Let me see. Do you stay there as long and let it get as close as it can get? And you know It's something being released. You take refuge, but the simple keep going, and they end up paying the penalty. You ain't going to run today.
You hear me? Your phone breaking up real bad, and you're missing a lot of it. So if you can hear me, you might need to check your signal from wherever you at, because it can't hear anything anymore. You were going good, and then it stopped working, so you might want to check it out.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me now?
No, we can hear you. It broke up for about a minute. You sound like a robot. But we can hear you now.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, that's AI. That's AI. And, you know, we've shared with you what the Lord has given us, that we're almost at the promised land, or at one of the greatest exodus of the history of the whole earth. The ones before us never seen a catching away or what we call a rapture, or the removal of the people of God so God can judge the world. Did you even hear that little part there? Did you hear what I just said, son?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear it now. I can hear it now. I couldn't hear you earlier.
Praise God. Well, AI, we can expect in and out confrontations of AI. Amen. This is one of the biggest sorceries in the history of man, where these things thinking for themselves, talking for themselves, got a mindset, and their entities, their disembodied sons and daughters of the giants, the Raphims and the Nephilims, have entered the system of things. And you know, when you look at, oh my God, what was that? When we look, you look at the mission of Moses and Joshua together and leading the children of Israel and their guidance and being over the children of Israel before they inherited Canaan, they had to pass through AI. They had to fight everything in AI. And so when we see these different types of patterns, so you can expect it. Now you can tell we are at the end of things. And people are thinking right now that we are still in the seals when we are in the trumpets. We are in the trumpets. And if you look at Euphrates, that confirmed that we are in the trumpets, because in the trumpets, you start dealing with the fifth and the sixth trumpets, you see that the angel come out with a vial. An angel from the Most High comes out with a vial and pour out something out of the vial on the river Euphrates, and it begins to dry up. So it shows us where we are in time. In time, has God has set it up. Praise God. I hope y'all heard that. But AI, there will be a face-to-face confrontation with them. Right now, it's just a little, and they're hitting the Terminators, they're all kind of spyware, electronic ears and eyes, and interferences by secrecies, and they're trying to muzzle the ox that's trying to tread out some corn to you today. So we can expect that in and out, and that lets you know that we are piercing the darkness. It's working. The word of God is working. It's shaking them that they have to distort my voice to keep it from going out to the holy ones. Glory to God. Amen. But we're going to keep going with this. And we was telling you in the NIV, because we're dealing with things you need to see, dealing with foreseeing, prudent people. I'm talking to prudent people, people who are wise unto salvation, who are skillful in warfare. I'm talking to mighty men of God, mighty women of God. Hallelujah. The men of war, the women of war, prayer warriors, help us in war, those who know who they are, what they got, and where they're going. You even know your origins. Until you know your origins, or the origins of the weakness, or the demonic assignment on your bloodline, on your bones, on your family, you would not know what you're fighting or how to fight. You would not be successful in fighting without the Spirit of God, without an understanding of the Word of God. And even if you don't see it on the pages, you can get it all upon your pillows in a vision or a dream, because some things God will reveal by the open word or spoken word, and some things he'll come and give us. Oh, that Solomon said, through the multitude of dreams and visions, God can send instruction that way. He have a way of revealing it in time. Praise God, he'll hide it from the enemy. Praise God, but he just hide it for you, bring it in a different style and in a different time, and he knows why. And the CSV version said, a sensible person. Sensible is another word for prudent. Sensible, oh, hallelujah. He say a sensible person, a seasoned person, a person mature, a person that is developed in the Spirit. You don't need nobody's accolade to know who you are. I don't know if I don't ever get a clap on the back, I can feel God's pat on my back. Amen. Because I paid for this all. I paid for this word. I paid for this revelation. Amen. In my body, I bear the marks of the Lord. Amen. And I've had proof of entities coming to my house and said they wanted to see who it was, that the other sphere, when you get there, you keep it moving. When you reach that place, you're going somewhere. You got to keep it moving and get strong. But he said, a sensible person. And that took me right back to the scripture of Hebrews 5:14, where it said, praise God, that but strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age. Full age, you know, they're mature, walking in stature. Somebody who have put away childish things. And you see how serious it is, how late it is, and you ain't playing no game. Or you walking and you cracking the ground with prayer. You shaking hell when you step out. They know you when you come. Your prayer life will make the devil respect you. Glory to God. Amen. They will hate you. Praise God. But he say a sensible person in the CSB version, see danger. I see danger. But I praise God because of the Spirit of God and the promises of God, that if I continue and if you continue to fast, to pray, and keep your body in sanctification and honor, do the right thing, strive lawfully, God said, you will escape the things of come. God in St. Luke 21:36, and I quote it often, that if you watch and pray, pray and watch, you will be accounted worthy to escape all that's coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He said, you see the danger and you take cover. You're going to take cover. You're not going to run to it and challenge it, because you know danger and destruction is for the wicked. If you live it right, that ain't for you. You ain't got no business running up to it to meet it or to paticate it, to question it, or praise God. But danger and destruction and hell is for the devil and his angels and his seed. But a sensible person, a person whose senses is exercised, they can see, they smell it, they feel it, they hear it, and they can taste it if there's a poison somewhere. Or even through, what if that poison just passed through me, that tastes funny, and it didn't harm you, because it's likened to the viper that bit Apostle Paul, and he didn't die. See, that's the power working in you. That's the power. But he says, a sensible person sees the danger and take cover. Oh, the inexperienced. People who are inexperienced, they read books, but that don't qualify us for nothing. Just because we read this book and that book and hear this great preacher and that and we write stuff down, but you didn't pay for it. Sometimes what was sealed upon their soul and in the archives of their mind, this mind of their spirit, don't seal itself on you, because there's some revelation, some information, some understanding come with a price. You got to pay a price in your body. You got to. He said the inexperienced keep going and are punished. And look at all the inexperienced folks out here we see in ministry today. People trying to work ministry. I mean, they can't heal nobody of a cold. Amen. They can't even cast out a devil. No manifestation of a working gift or virtue. Amen. You're supposed to be a peace. All you do is fuss all the time. Just old fuss thoughts. Bitter. Angry all the time, fussing, finding fault. They ain't nobody right. They ain't this, that, and that. Bitter! Instead of the soul becoming sweet. He say, but the inexperienced, they keep going. They ain't going to listen to you. They inexperienced. God speak to me like he speak to you. God this and God ain't telling them all that. That don't mean that. You sit back worrying instead of taking all these spears. I'm trying to give you some spears. I'm trying to give you a sword. I'm trying to give you some power bones. Amen. I'm trying to give you a word that will shake the kingdom of hell. If we would just listen, 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 listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And then the NLT say a prudent person, a wise person, foresees danger. And take precautions. But the simple just continue to go blindly. He go on being blind and suffer whatever consequences. And then the King James Version says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and a punish. See, God warned us, warning come before destruction. Warning always come before danger. And God always trying to send a word. He warned the nation. God, what don't y'all just do right down there? He'll sit preaching. He'll have it posted on billboard signs and tracts on the ground. And I mean, songs hit the radio and just strange ways of inserting the word. Warning in your day of what's coming. Warning always come before destruction to the righteous and the wicked. And God is saying, foresee it. I'm trying to, I showed you in advance. When I gave you my word, I was giving you foresight. I was giving you an advance notice. This is vision. I'm giving you foresight, forevision, a warning before time. I'm letting you see it before it happened. If you look at the scripture, which many fight the Old Testament, you fight it. Praise God. And this is showing you what will happen tomorrow. We overlook it and say, we don't need to see that. And every time I look at it, I see, man, this happened before. History, this is history repeated itself, just like Solomon said in chapter 1, Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. And then in that chapter 3, he said, God required that which is past. And he have tried it from generation to generation. What he tell preachers today, he told some preacher yesterday. The ones who went to the grave, everybody had to go through the same class. They have to follow the divine order. They have to go through ranks. I got to study to show myself approval. That I be a workman not to be a saint. And you got to study. How are you going to know the mind of God? Where are you going to get your strategy from? You got to look at the days of old, how they won battles against evil from generation to generation. And you can look at, I promise you, the time frame. If you look at the exact months and dates, when you hit the exact month and date every, per year, the same thing that happened on the exact month and day, what happened today, it happened, it not counting the year. because the same thing that happened on October the 17th, when October the 17th last year, it happened again. It happened again somewhere and often in the same city and under the same roof, the same weather pattern, because everything is in a cycle. It repeats itself. But a prudent man, a wise person at this hour, you see how late it is. You can't afford to be walking with weak folk. They ain't got your back. They don't want to pray. They don't want to come to church. They don't want Bible study. You don't want to run with nobody weak and lustful and playful. And I mean a glut. All they want to do is eat, eat, eat. Never call a fast. And can't. And Satan has tricked a lot of us into believing that we're diseased and we have disease, because he knows that's one way I can steal fasting from them. I'm going to put a sickness or disease on them, and they're going to have to take some. I'm going to tell them they got diabetes. I'm going to tell them they got to take it. You can't go without eating now, because he knows the day was coming that what you're facing ain't going to come out but by fasting and prayer. Another way I can get them, start putting up all-you-can-eat restaurants. Get them spoiled and over-feeding, overeating. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Get them there, and then soon God is going to release famine. When God sends famine through the word of God, then we know it's our time to induce famine, to start pulling back on the food, start burning up crops, burning up pig, burning up the hogs, and then you're in a place where you can't go without eating. You got to have something to eat and drink. I'm telling you, it's just trickery and cunning craftiness everywhere with the fallen ones. And we got to get back to God. We got to get back to God in a real way. We got to get back. We got to get back to God. If you have to die trying, you get rid and give Satan his disease back. You give it back. Cast it out of your mind. Whatever you think of you, that you will be. Whatever you program yourself and tell yourself over and over again, I got this. This is my diabetes. This is my high blood pressure. When all you got to do is start getting some peppers. We say, oh, I can't take them peppers because they're in my stomach. Them peppers will unclog them arteries. Praise God. Them peppers. Amen. The devil know what he's doing. Boy, I'm telling you, them evil spirits, they got game. Woo! They got real game. You ain't dealing with no novices. You dealing with them day four boys. They was created on the fourth day. Man didn't come to the sixth day. Praise God. Amen. They was there the fourth day. And the fourth day, and even between that time and the time that we see in Genesis of God creating us on the sixth day, there was another world. There were other creation, other men before that, because God had to tell Adam and Eve from the scriptures that we have, say, thou art you replenished. That means it was a redoing, a renovation, a recreation of something, because it failed again. Amen. And so you look at it, the 6,000 year. You're looking at the 666 in effect of man, this makeup, six photons, electrons, and neutrons, 666 in the system of man, the makeup of man, and then 6 days and 6,000 year. So we're at the 6,000 year of the manifestation of the same beast and hateful creature that hates man and now hates God. His returning is well, and the world is about to enter, praise God, or be confronted with the wrath of Satan of Revelation 12. And then Revelation 13 tells you that these entities are coming. And all of this partying folk doing out and thinking, oh, we can get rid of the church, and if we can get rid of this, and we can get rid of that. Oh, they always preaching, and they got to look so holy, and they think they so holy, and all that singing, it don't take all of that. Well, you sing the Satan, you sing the dog, you mean to tell me I can't sing, and my belief, and you know, People talking about the name Jesus. Oh, that's a white man name. And white? No, we know Jesus was a brown skin being. He was brown. He was not white. And we know that. And that's been even Putin bought out the pictorial image of the true image of the Most High. And then it's all on the caves and the walls and the Sphinx and the pyramids. And now they're trying to erase history. But let me tell you, God is sweeping through cities. He's sweeping through continents. And we are now looking at the fullness of the Gentiles has come. The fullness of the Gentiles has come, and God is all preparing for the Exodus. He is now preparing for all of the rest of us that are still scattered, the other two tribes that are scattered, for the return. All of the signs in the history, that the things that are being laid by the Holy Ghost that's falling upon the earth by word, by number, by imagery, by the cosmos, the sun is saying it at its eclipse, its moon changes, everything, the whole creation, even the creation know that there's going to be a shift in the transfers and power. The Bible says even in them is a hope for the real rulers, the original man. Praise God, the whole creation groaned in travail. Look, the virgin in expectation, the cows are in expectation of guess what? The sons of God, those who have returned to the Father, made it back to sonship, and who have entered that glory Jesus died for. Not many will go back in, enter in, because they said those people thinking it don't take all of that. What they talking about? We already sons of God. It's easier said than done. Where is the manifestation? Where is the glory upon you? Where is the manifestation of the divine nature? Where is the demonstration of the spirit and power? Why aren't demons being cast out? We say they are. Amen. But all the ones we see that came out in the Bible, they talk coming out. They made a fuss coming out. They made a show of themselves openly. And the whole creation, that means everything living, the trees, the birds, the fish, they know something good is going to happen on one end, and on the other side, this judgment on the wicked and sinner, and all of Esau's descendants, all of Cain's descendants, and Esau. The judgment upon Esau at the end of the world, and God is right now doing just that. And he's the reason why they've been ushered out of Israel, because they are not Israel. They are being ushered off lands that are not theirs. It was never theirs. And God is doing a cleanup. You talking about the song of the cleanup woman. God cleaning up and putting things back like they was, as he promised our father Abraham. I'm giving it back. I told you that I'm going to end it with giving everything back to you, the sinners that was taken, because Esau, them, they overdid it. Now I'm going to punish them for what they overdid. I'm going to punish them. I'm going to turn them upside down, and just like they killed. And I was telling my son, I said, son, even in our choices and praying for nations, when we see judgment on a place, and I'm going to close with this. Even when we see judgment in a place, we say, ooh, that war, and this person did that, and that did that. No, it was God. And we are now at seeing the reward of the wicked. The 91st song says, you shall see the reward of the wicked when you stay in the secret place. Keep praying and fasting and stay with God and walk with God and stay and resist the devil. You're looking at the reward of the wicked, all right? Spiritual laws have been broken. Spiritual laws have been transgressed. Nobody's head would be cut off. Nobody would be slaughtered and shot down, shot 50 times, stabbed over and over again. unless, now God established this law. Now you need to understand spiritually. You wouldn't see blood hitting the ground of nobody whose bloodline was right, did right, and didn't cover a death, didn't cover a slaughter, didn't cover a murder. Now why would God punish somebody who never broke that law before? If you break it, you got to pay for it. And we know people, most of the world leaders, they make laws. They don't keep themselves. They'll tell you, do as I say, but don't do as I do. But people make laws. They don't keep themselves. But if your daddy's daddy's daddy, you wonder, what do I need to happen? Somebody kill all my children now. Oh, somebody did this and did that. Well, you see, we can't foresee. And we don't have hindsight without the Holy Ghost. And some of us don't have the ability to even look back and reexamine our own suffering. Why am I suffering this? Did I do this? Did I do that? Why did they talk to me like that? Did I talk to somebody like that? Why did that happen to me? And the sins of the fathers is what the why the nations and the people are paying for bad choices, and the sins of the fathers, the sins of those who lead. And their blood won't hit the ground unless they are most wicked and they have shed blood before. Now, you look at the laws of God through the Levites. People don't want to look at the Old Testament, but you better look at them laws and you'll find out why this is happening today, and then you won't waste your time praying for mercy for somewhere or some people when they're under judgment. We don't understand judgment. We don't understand the indignation of God. Why God shift from that emotion to this emotion. Why he allowed that to fall on this people and not that people. Somebody broke a spiritual law, and their daddies and their granddaddies, daddies, daddies might have died, but the children is going to be the one to pay for it. That was covered up if they hang somebody by a noose on the tree. If they burnt them up on a tree, if they cut off their genitals, if they raped somebody, guess what? It may take 3-4 generations. But that sin that was committed by the fathers, because it's the sin of the fathers that bring the children's teeth to edge, that caused the children to suffer. Or what's going on? You see something keep happening bad in a city and all these storms keep hitting. Somebody making God mad that the elements, the angels of wrath, they're coming in judgment. The earth turning again. They can't prosper. Nothing won't go. The earth is against them. She trembled. And I was looking at that word of Jeremiah. Talks about it even in Jeremiah 51. And 29, he say, and the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon. Anybody under the world, anybody who has become an enemy to God, God is working against that to make the land of Babylon a desolation and without inhabitation. He'll clean a city. Ain't nobody going to dwell in it but who he wants in it or who are the rightful owners of that land. So somebody don't believe that. Praise God. But we can't play with God. You can't keep hiding sin and covering up stuff and think ain't nobody going to know. Because, see, time is so short now. If you do something, if you hid it a month ago, within 30 days it's going to hit the numerology of completion. He's a 3-7. Can be 30 days. It can be 70 days. Or 30 or 60 or 70 days. And you find out something fell on your son and your daughter. I met a woman and she said, well, man, why my husband died, my daughter died, and here come my son. Why is my children... the Lord taking my children like this, da 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 da, and it's going on. And boy, I'm getting, I couldn't answer because they was asking somebody else, but I'm looking, I say, oh my God. And people go to church. It saddens me that people go to church and they on the leaders that don't know how to answer these people's questions, don't understand why this is happening to the church in their care, why this is upon people, why are they possessed, why have they been made disabled, or why are everybody in their family dying, or why? Why did God suffer evil men or a foe to pass through a city, wasn't merciful at all, and cut baby's head off, stabbed him, did this to him, like Sodom? They were merciless. Was no mercy shown. Now, you don't know the life of that blood. You don't know the history of that nation. You don't know the history of those people. Because everything is moving by the power of God. A spiritual law has been broken. Your children's blood won't hit the ground unless your family have covered up the dropping of innocent blood on the ground somewhere. And here comes the law of reaping and sowing, recompense. Amen. So we have a lot of things to consider, to think about. So you won't be wasting good bread, you won't waste pearls, you won't waste a tear for somebody whom God is. Look at God burnt up. When you think when he burnt up Sodom and Gomorrah, the old LGBTQ folk, two cities, and then they say Zoar had some burnts on it, the neighboring city, but God hit those two. God didn't spare not one animal in it, not one baby, nobody. But Lot, and then even Lot and wife turned to a pillar of salt. He didn't spare nothing. Now, we need to know who God is. See, we look at God. Jesus is love. God is love. God, sure he is. But he's a God of judgment, and he don't play. He's not playing with us. And when he have that new heaven and new earth, he going to put clean folk on it. The people that's going on it, they going to deserve it. They going to deserve it. They doing everything within their power to keep their body in sanctification and honor. And then you're working on your bloodline, examining yourself and reexamining yourself over and over and over and over again. The reexamination to be sure. Why did it fall upon my child? Why do I keep losing babies? And the mothers kept aborting and kept killing and killing, and the plague goes on. Why? Why does my womb not hold child? Why does your church, why the womb of your ministry can't hold members? Why you can't hold the womb of the ministry is sick. The church womb is sick. She ain't having no babies. It's weak every time she get it aborts. You lose it because the womb ain't strong enough. The people around the altar who works the womb, who work ministry, who work and stir the anointed, who build it up, who mount it up, ain't strong enough. The people we got an assignment in these places. Praise God. Amen. Are not strong enough to fight this hell that God has permitted to move on earth. Challenging life. Cutting off. It has been more bloodshed than we even know about the nations and the people. And now America is moving now into necromancy stronger than it's ever been now, because they a lot of the Mexicans and all people call them, talking about the Issachar. They ain't the tribe of Issachar, but they are coming here. They're getting ready for the biggest fest. Necromancy festival downtown Memphis around the pyramid, the capital, named after the capital of Egypt, was witchcraft capital, where there was a lot of bloodshed, human sacrifices going on, same way in Memphis, Tennessee. And they getting ready to walk down. Now they out of their country, so they can't run down to the cemetery. If you study their history, They will, every year they go to the cemetery and take the dead folk out of the ground, out of their caskets, out of their sepulchre, bring them into town to their house with their dried up clothes and no dried up skin on the bone, and put them on new clothes put a drink down them. They do undend the worshiping of literal dead and take them, and they get ready to have a celebration of necrophilia. Man, you talking about a porter finna open downtown Memphis. They've been opening porters back to back. Concerts. Oh, man, so much is going on. So much you need to see and understand. And you wonder why the planet is trembling. You wonder why this place is shaking. You wonder why the earth is splitting. You wonder why people are falling dead. You wonder why no regard for life of man, cutting off babies' head, cutting them, eating children, sending it through the restaurants now. Cannibal burgers. Now they got to make it, the grinding. You think you buying meal and you getting insect grounds to cook with. They feed them, I'm telling you, evil angels, they children. Coming up with all these recipes and the way the spirit cook to take man from the glories given to them by God. The craft, because we believe in a system that don't believe in you and have left God and gone after Satan. Amen. But he said the land shall tremble and sorrow. Pain, more pain is coming. You finna see more deaths than never before. Folk falling dead because some of the stuff in them been put in them and reached full incubation. It's coming to its fullness, and folks is all of a sudden just falling dead, walking in Walmart, walking everywhere. They didn't fail dead. Somebody called and said, we found so-and-so dead. We found this person here dead. Oh, they fell dead in Walmart a week ago. They fell dead here. And just boom, boom, boom. Being called into eternity to the other side. You don't know when your number's coming up. But right now you have the time to come to Jesus or to return. If you're a prodigal today, it's time to return to the Most High. Amen. But we are in dark times, y'all. And you need to foresee, pray and fast for foresight and hindsight. You want to know what's behind, have understanding of the scripture so you'll know what's coming tomorrow by looking at yesterday. If you want to know, see today, I know what's going to happen today, look at history. Even in biblically and the history of America, you see it recanted. It's being done again and again and again. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your very presence. We thank you for preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We thank you, O God, for supping with us, for giving us more understanding concerning the times, and God, reiterating the importance of body covenants and deeper consecration. Pray, God, that you will anoint us like only you can, with the ability to travail, to work more earnestly and more sincerely in the way of fasting and praying, God, in the giving of thanks and to bless your name. We pray that this word is falling on good ground, that it will bring forth fruit that's pleasing to you, and that everyone that has heard would be strengthened, settled, and established. Strengthen with almighty man, a man, to your glory. Let your will be done from sea to sea, to coast to coast, to all the hearers of the word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Till next time.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for that awesome, mighty word. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Father, we glorify your name. We lift you up, O Lord Jesus. Thank you for the word, O God, that you have poured out of this vessel today, giving us insight of what's going on and what's to come. Lord, we ask now that you would open the wind of the door and the gates of heaven, and that you would pour out a fresh anointing, a fresh oil Oh, God, fresh wisdom, fresh revelation, oh, God, that you pour into her right now, oh, God, not tomorrow, not next week, but now, Lord. Lord, God, that her vessel will begin to bubble with a fresh anointing. And, Father, for those that heard this word, oh, God, let them not just receive it. Let them activate the word in their walk, Lord, in their life, oh, God. That when people see them and hear them, they will know that their ministry is striving with the anointing of heaven here on earth. We pray, God, for that one that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, oh God, that you would, Father, turn them from the throne room out of glory and look into time, oh God. Touch them right now. God, for your word declare that no one can come to you except you draw them. We ask, Father God, that you would draw many souls from near and far, oh God. For you said that this Holy Spirit is not just for those that are here, but for those that are far off. Those that you are calling from darkness to light, God. If you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It also says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that while we were yet sinning, oh God, while we were yet in sin, deep in it, like a pig in mud, God commanded his love towards us. Christ died for us. The righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, a king for peasants. Today he's not looking at you as a peasant though. He's looking at you as a son or a daughter in need of a father who cares for them, who gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's why he sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We know that we love darkness because of these are evil. But God come to clean us out of that place, to bring us out of darkness and bring us into his marvelous light, that we would have access to the Father. We'll have access to the tree of life. We'll have access to the fountain of life, that we could come and drink and come and eat freely without money. God wants us to come to him. His hands is outstretched to us today. For all those that are lost in sin, even those that have come to him before and have backslidden into a darkened place, his hands are outstretched. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you even unto the end. Hallelujah, glory to God. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You got to come through Jesus. If you come in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. What happened to thieves and robbers? You will get arrested, put in jail, because you're trying to come in another way. But Jesus made the way. He is the way. And he stands at the gate waiting to welcome whoever will call, whoever will come to him today. Because he's calling. He is calling. By his spirit, he is calling the lost sheep to come to the fold. He said, there's many others that belongs to the fold or the flock, but they're not yet there. But they will believe on him through their word. Through the word that we preach, we teach. Men will believe. Women will believe. Children will believe. People are being converted even right now. Even right now, people are being converted. They would live in a different way, to a different, serving a different God. But today they hear the word. Each day they hear the word. Their soul are being pricked to come to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity to really examine yourself. Examine your own heart. I can't examine your heart for you. I got to look at mine. He's not asking me for you. He's asking me for my own way. How am I living? How am I serving? Am I really serving him? Or am I playing games? So he's asking you about your own heart. Not asking about your children. He's also asking about your wife, your children, your husband. He's not even asking about your job in the world. He's asking about your heart now, because he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So now you can go back in darkness after you receive him and lead somebody out by the light of God. The word of God can lead somebody else out. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I feel so impressed today to touch somebody's heart today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody, not even to me or you. It's not promised to anyone. Even as I'm speaking right now, there's people crossing over. Believe it or not, people are crossing over in the nursing home, in the hospital, on the highways, in the airways. People are crossing over. People were just on a plane and said the woman dropped dead in the plane. And the plane couldn't leave the runway. The woman died in the plane. She probably thinks she was going on a vacation or going back to her city. They didn't give you all the information, but she just dropped them dead. And the plane could not leave the runway. Ambulance, police officers, everybody come out to the plane. See, you don't know when your number's going to be called up. That's why when you hear an altar call, you ought to come. You ought to come. You ought to come and dedicate your life to God. Give your life completely over to God. Not your mouth, because a lot of people give their mouth, because the pastor preached so well. It was so anointed. It was so appointed and approved by God. You say, well, the pastor calling, making an altar call, I'm going to go to the altar. I'm going to go up to the altar and I'm going to kneel at the altar. But did you hear God? Or are you just going up because the pastor make the call? Did you hear God calling you? Is your spirit being pricked by the anointing, by the Holy Spirit, to come to God? Because he said no one can come except he draw them. He draws you by his spirit. The word is alive. It's quicker than a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. So if you heard him today, harden not your heart like in the days of provocation. Come to Jesus today. Come just as you are. You may be still drinking alcohol. You may be still smoking pot or cocaine or heroin or whatever you're doing that is contrary to God's will. You may be still womanizing, still selling your body as a prostitute or however your life vice that you have, but it doesn't matter. He said, come just as you are. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will restore you. He'll put you in right standing with the Father. All you got to do is repent. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I recognized I was living contrary to your word. I wasn't following the commandments. I was doing my own thing. I was being led by the God of this world. But today, Lord Jesus, I know in my heart that I need to change my life. I need to do something different because I've been doing the same thing all the time and getting the same results. Lord Jesus, today I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I come to you today, Lord, with great expectations, knowing in my heart that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I recognize, oh God, that you are the only one, Lord Jesus, that have the power, the knowledge, the wisdom, the know-how. The only one that shed your blood at Calvary according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. I believe that you died there on that cross and that you rose again on the third day. I believe, Jesus, that you did all this for me, that if I was the only person on this earth, in this earthly realm, that you would have leave your heavenly realm, your throne room, and come into this earth realm just to give me opportunity to be saved. Jesus, today I gladly invite you to come into my heart. I gladly and willingly invite you to come into my heart. The door is open now, Jesus. Enter in. Take complete control of my heart, my soul, my mind and my body, Jesus. Teach me how to live the life that brings glory to you, Lord. I receive you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Well, if you just said that word, that prayer, if you just recite that from the depths of your heart, from the center of your heart, and you believe what you said with your mouth, you confess it, you have just received the gift of salvation. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Get an understanding of this Jesus Christ, the apostle, and all these great people of God that's in the book that we teach and preach about. And then you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize according to Acts 2 and 38. And tell them that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess him. Declare him. Hallelujah, glory to God. Because if you become ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. If you deny him before men, he'll deny you before the Father and the angels. I'm telling you today, study the word. Call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, everybody that you can get. Because this is the greatest time of your life when you get baptized in Jesus' name. You know, you confess him before the people. But when you're going down that water, it's being real. That what you were saying, what you're saying in the sanctuary or wherever you were when you received him here on Block Talk Radio. And now you're being baptized in Jesus' name. You're really making an open declaration, proclamation that, yes, Jesus is your Lord. You're not ashamed to let the people see and hear that you have received Jesus as Lord. And then when you're going down that water, we like to call it a liquid grave. Well, you're declaring that you're going in this water and everything that held you captive and had you in bondage and kept you away from glorifying God and even getting close to God, you're leaving in that water. You know how we live before we knew him. But now today you're getting to get closer to him. And the more you study the word, the more you fellowship with other believers, you'll find yourself getting closer to him, having a stronger desire to save him, to serve him, to live for him, to be the disciple that he called you to be. Because that's what he called you. He called you out of darkness now into his light, to be a disciple, to go and tell people, being reconciled right now, to reconcile. So we just thank God for you all those that received the gift of salvation and those that will receive at a later date. I pray that God continue to bless you and God continue to feed you and God continue to strengthen you with his power, with his authority, so that you will go forth and be who he called you to be. God bless you all. Thank you so much, Prophetess Kirstie, for that word. You know, you hit on some powerful points there. You was talking about the mighty men and mighty women of God. And I was just studying in First Chronicles and the book of Acts and Proverbs and Corinthians about the mighty men and women of God. And I said, wow, when you were saying that was just hitting me. I said, wow, I was just studying that. Studying about the mighty men and women of God. You know, we supposed to be mighty men and mighty women of God too. We have the same anointing, the same power, the same spirit living on in the inside of us. And so it's no time for us to play church anymore. We got to be the church. We got to walk in this anointing. We got to live this anointing. We got to declare that we are his. He is ours. We have to live it out. Hallelujah, glory to God. But so many people are saying it, talking it, but they're not living it. And this is what I was hearing in the sermon this morning. That we got to be it. We got to be who he called us to be. Time is getting short. Time is getting short. It's shorter than when we first begin, believe what I'm telling you. And we have to really get serious about this stuff and be on the battlefield. We can't get in the house and look out the window at the battle. We got to be on the battlefield. People are dying and going to hell while we speak. Dying and going to hell. Even from the house, people are dying and going to hell because we are playing church. And God said, no time for us to take up the full banner of Jesus Christ. The full banner. Hallelujah. Don't take up part. They take up the whole banner. Everybody trying to get right here. You saying that they're trying to get that money. They're interested in that money. All they're focused on is getting rich, getting rich, getting rich. Souls are dying and going to hell. God said we got to testify, we got to glorify, we got to admonish him, the work that he did at Calvary. We got to talk about the cross. We got to let them know without the shedding of blood there's no remission of sin. We got to let them know that Christ died for their sin, for their body. He died for their soul, not their body, not their flesh, but he died for their soul, that they have access to the Father. Glory to God. Thank you so much. I thank you for the word. What a powerful anointed word. I'm going to listen back to it a little later. After I get settled down to them, I'll listen back later and hear what God said to me, for me individually, from this world. Of course, there's a lot of stuff you talked about, what's going on in the world and what's happening in the Middle East. And, you know, a lot of stuff is happening. I was just reading something the other night, all these Christians that burned this building, this church building in Nigeria, and all these Christians that died in the fire. You know, you hear it on the news. You don't hear it on the news. Nobody think, oh, these are black people. You know, these are black people that were burned alive. And they were burned in their own country. You know, because, and who they were burned by, they were burned up by Muslims, the radical Muslims. Just one Muslim, and the whole world going to fall apart. You know, they're going into a tantrum because it's a Muslim that get hurt. But Christians are then being burned every day for the gospel. Every day, burned, beheaded, dismembered for the gospel. That's why we got to pray. That's why we got to fast. That's why we got to seek God more on a higher dimension. We got to seek him. This is no time for playing church. But the line is open. I'm not going to preach all the time, preach anymore, because you preach already. I just want to thank you and let you know that I heard the word. And it came true good for me. I know I heard it. Minister Jones says that it was a little breaking up a little bit, but it didn't break up on my side, on my end. But it was clear. I got all the words. So the line is open. Thank you, Apostle Stuart, for coming on and hearing some of the words. And we thank God for you. The line is open. Line is open.
God bless you, Apostle. Everyone, all the apostles, ministers, man, it's not just man, but we're real powerful. I don't know, probably was the area I was in, probably it was causing sound like it was a robot. That's the reason why I said something. Trying not to interrupt when the word coming that strong like that. But, man, I tell you, the word of power was, she was touching on so many things. Today, I got to finish up the other ones, and then I got to go back over this one too. But, man, I tell you, when she was talking about keeping the covenant with the eye gate and all that stuff there, man, and it just make you think about how the enemy knew what he was doing when he created technology, these cell phones, where you go on there and go on different websites and stuff. And, man, my mind was just going every place, all over the place when she was talking about that. And, you know, just even down to the movies, like, really mobile, even the cartoons, stuff is not just, everything is being perverted. And you just gotta ask God to really deliver us from social media, you know, because it's so easy to get caught. I mean, it can be good for a good cause. You know, I like to put the word of God on my page and stuff. But even in that, though, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people going on there, man. Like, you know, I heard Foster say one time, you got a woman on there half naked now on Facebook, man. It's just sad that, you know, I mean, what is going on now, you know, perversion is really coming up and going real high. And I just thought about what she was saying, the sins of the father. I'm thinking about David. When David shed a lot of blood, he couldn't even build a house for the Heavenly Father. And, you know, and he's just looking at how David shed a lot of blood. He had his own children had to even the seed that he had when he committed adultery had to die. And the blood he shed. And they're like, man, you know, and we forget about those things. And then she was talking about a lot of the Old Testament. You go back and look at that stuff, and you look at a lot, it's like history is repeating itself. I see why the word of God says, nothing new up under the sun. You know, nothing new up under the sun. The same temptation that we face, they faced it then. It just, this generation is more untoward and more wicked than ever, because a lot of things that that's going on now, especially in America and across the world, man, God would have been wiped us off this planet. You know, and I got to show you, if it had not been for the blood of Jesus, man, what would we be? You hear many people say that, man. And I just look over my life and look at the things that are going on around me, and I know it had to be the blood of Jesus. That's the reason why we still here. I wouldn't have been here if it had not been for the blood of Jesus. I'd probably have been wiped out a long time ago when I was in sin. God had delivered me from cocaine, doing the things I was doing. Even when I got saved, I had stumbled here and there, and God still kept me. And I just thank God for his blood and his mercy and grace, you know, that we have been consumed, you know. But I just thank God, you know, the word was just so powerful. You know, the Bible says you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And people forget that you know, and I think that's a true saying. You know, you can shed blood, and your grandkids probably have to face that. And that's why you see a lot of tragedy happening around the world. You got to go all the way back and see, did any one of them granddaddies or somebody in their bloodline do something, and then they fell on them. And people don't think about it to that depth because you don't have believers out seeking God to really get that kind of information. They take the power of God and the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit. I like when she brought that out about Romans 8:9, about saying if you don't have the Spirit, you're going to heal. And you do have to have the Spirit of God. Not just to preach and be able to quote the word, but you need the Spirit of God to even be able to decipher the word of God and understand biblical understanding. And it takes God to open up those keys and those doors to show you insight and hindsight like he did Moses. When he showed Moses, Moses spent some time with God. God showed him the beginning. In the beginning, God created. That was Moses that wrote the Torah from the beginning. So that, you know, God is still doing it. He's still doing that now. When you spend time, the Bible says he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High should abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means when you start spending time with God, God will start revealing stuff to you and speaking to you. And whatever God feels, you'll feel. If God get angry, you'll get angry. If God be sad, you'll be sad. You know, God tell you to push you into fasting and praying. You can't help it because you got the Spirit of God, and you'll be grieved about what's going on. And then she talked about the great evil that's happening in America. America is just a demon. It's like we're breathing demons in America now. And then it's the month of witches and warlocks and Halloween, and I just hate this month because every time I drive, I go out from state to state, I hate to see the billboards with, you got all these billboards and all this evil stuff on it. Demons, and you got jack-o'-lanterns, and you got a man with blood coming out of their mouth and evil spirits on these billboards. They glorifying evil. America glorify evil. All in Walmart. They glorify darkness, and then as soon as something happens, they want to start praying. We want everybody to pray. We glorify that in this country. We glorify worshiping idols and paganism. All the things that God don't like in America, you can do. We the word, we Babylon for sure. We the whole that was sitting. God forgive me. We that woman that was sitting on the beach. And it's just sad this thing that's going on and that they do in this country and how we embrace evil. Like this month, you got churches now going to start having fall fest and trunk or treat. When the church shouldn't have nothing to do with this, these holidays, but they justify stuff and say they're doing it for the children and they giving their children to the devil. And then on Sunday, they want to come in and want to say, kumbaya, I want God to come in. I think I can give that candy and all that, though, justifying evil. And it's just sad that people don't have eyes to see nothing, or don't want to hear the truth, want to justify sin, and as soon as something happens, then they want to get want to go into consecration when we should be trying to listen to the trumpet sound now and the warnings that are going on now. But I just thank God for the word. I'm not trying to re-preach anything, trying to bet you to the world road, but I love y'all. Let's continue praying that we get in the right place with God, that we can hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank God for a good word. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. Thank you for the response. And yes, it was a good, great word. It is a great word. Always a great word. God's word is good. So the line is open for anyone that wants to respond. The line is open. If not, Minister Jones, you can go ahead and pray us out. And we will see you all. I will be here tomorrow afternoon, if the Lord say the same, to bring a word tomorrow. So you can press out, Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for a powerful word, God, that came on today, revelation and everything that you were trying to give us so we can see, Lord. Help us to hide the word in our heart that we're going to send against you. And Lord, we just ask you to forgive us, Lord, if we haven't done all we're supposed to do. Forgive us, Lord, if we have set on our guilt and not give everything that you call us to do in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk in our calling. Help us, God, to do your will. Forgive us, Lord, if we made promises that we didn't keep. And Lord, help us to walk in your calling. Lord, help us to get rid of spot, rank, and family. Help us, Lord, to keep an eye covenant, make an eye covenant, and handle not, touch not, unclean things. Help us, Lord, God, to get in that place, God, that we can be able to fulfill your will and do what you call us to do. In the name of Jesus, Lord, cover us with your blood. Keep us, Lord. Cover our children. Cover our, them, every minister, God, and every pastor, Lord. We ask you to scripture every man and woman of God that's on this line. And they're all fivefold ministers, God. Let your anointing continue to rest upon them and stay with them in the name of Jesus, God. You don't want to do it. And, Lord, we just praise and bless your name. We glorify you for your power. We thank you for all you've done, for how good you've been to us. God, we just say thank you. Let your blood keep us throughout today. Cover us, Lord, with your blood. Keep Africa, Akibalon, and all other countries that are suffering, and the innocent, Lord. We pray for them this morning, today, God. And we just tell you, Lord, continue blessing this prayer line. I mean, this radio broadcast, God. Continue blessing it, God. That, God, the word will continue going out, God, and reaching all those that are lost, Lord. God, help us, Lord, to continue to be filled with your holy power and your spirit, God, that we're ready to hear your voice and be ready when you come. And Lord, I forever bless your name, give your name the glory, honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Remember, please keep Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart, the ministry, in prayer for this weekend. They have big ordination and baptism going on Sunday. So pray that God's anointing would just overshadow the place and that many would come to know Jesus as Lord. And that the Lord would use the pastors and the apostles for his glory and for the good of his people. Okay? God bless you all. Thank you so much for closing us out, Minister Jones. And thank you again, Apostle Stewart, for being here with us. Brother Deacon Frazier, and thank the prophetess for the word. We know the word is good. And as you said, Minister Jones, I'm going to go back and listen to it for myself, too, so I can get some more off it. So God bless you all. God bless you. Bye-bye. Have a blessed evening. Bye-bye.